Thank you very much, Nick. Lovely to be here. Shall we just pray for a moment? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, for you alone are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I've got a few slides to show you. So if we could have the first one, that'd be great. And in fact, the next one. So anybody, any idea what that is? What's that? Light bulb? Part of a rabbit? It was met a sad end. Nothing macabre, please. I'll come back to that, because when I come to the end, you'll be able to understand exactly what that is. Okay? So let's have the next slide. Now, some of these slides you will have seen before. So you adults who've seen these before, I don't want you to shout out. I want some of the young people to answer this question. Because what I want to mention to begin with is what we see, or rather, we can't necessarily rely on our eyes when we're looking. At first sight, the lines going across, are they going that way or are they going that way? At first sight. What would you say? Are they going that way or both? Both. At first sight. At first sight. Now, what is actually the case? Paul? Parallel. They're parallel. When you actually sit down and measure it, they're all like that. They're all going like that. But they don't look like that, do they? So you can't necessarily rely on your eyes here. Next one. The two dots in the middle of those two patterns. Do you see the two dots in the middle? At first sight, which is the bigger one? The left, isn't it? It's obviously the bigger one. But in fact, when you sit down and measure it, they're exactly the same. You cannot rely on your eyes at first sight, is my point. Next one. Now, look at that for a little while. I want you to look at that for a little while. You're seated, so you won't collapse. Just keep looking at that. Keep looking at it. Don't look at me. Look at that. What are you noticing? It's moving, isn't it? It's moving in and out, isn't it? Yeah? Do you see it moving? See it moving? But it's not moving, is it? That's a still picture. Again, you can't rely on your eyes. Next picture. Also, it's not just that we can't necessarily rely on our eyes. Even the things we see all the time, we don't remember, do we? So, who uses a keyboard around here regularly? Surely, nearly everybody uses a keyboard around there. So, what is that letter there that's missing? J. Sharp as a pin. Okay, if you're so good, let's have the next slide. What have we got there? What would you say? That's nearly it. I mean, I don't know. I'm not pretending I know. It's BNM. Okay? BNM. But even the things we see all the time, we don't necessarily remember. Okay, next picture. Who is that? That's not an obscure saint. That is actually Jesus, okay? That's a picture of Jesus. What did people see when they saw Jesus? What did different people see? Some people saw a human being. Some people saw a rabbi. Some people saw a prophet. And some people saw a rabble-rouser and a troublemaker. And some people saw something else. But we cannot just rely on our eyes when we're looking. Next picture. What we see depends upon what we know, doesn't it? If I take you back to any of those pictures now, you'll see them differently because you know differently. Now, this is a famous old picture here, and people who know about this picture can see two animals in this. Who knows about this picture? Yeah, lots of people know about this. So what can you see in this picture? A duck and a rabbit, yeah? And once you know, when it comes up, you think, oh yeah, that's obvious. But it's not obvious beforehand. Do you want to do the next slide? You see the rabbit? Go back to the duck. Duck. And again, back. Rabbit. Interesting philosophical challenge here. Wittgenstein, Ludwig Wittgenstein, said, nobody can keep in their mind at the very same time both the duck and the rabbit. Can you try and keep both at the same time in your mind? Can you see both the rabbit and the duck at the same time? If you can, you're cleverer than Wittgenstein. Anyway, but by knowing, we see what's there. Next one. Now, what's that? Musical notes. But you only know that because you know about music, don't you? To a tribe in Papua New Guinea who've never seen musical notes before, that is a series of black dots on a white background, okay? Because you know, you see it differently. And a musician who's well-versed will see a tune there. Next one. And for those of you who know, what is that? It's a face, and it's also a word, liar. Next picture. Do you see? Liar. And I'm afraid that is sometimes how we look at people, isn't it? We see them in terms of some specific thing. Look out, here comes Tricky Ricky. Here comes Clever Trevor. Here comes Silly Sue. You know, and my apologies to Ricky, to Trevor or Sue if you're in this congregation. I don't know you. But the point I'm getting at is what we see depends upon what we know. So next picture. Anybody know that one? What's that? What's that? That's right. It's a profile and a face. It's a man facing that way as well as half a man facing that way, isn't it? Can you see that now? If you couldn't see it before, you can see it now because you've been informed and you now know what is there. Okay, I'm labouring the point, but now next slide. So, the point is, for some people, they knew that what we have here is something more than simply a human being, a rabble-rouser, a rabbi, a troublemaker, or a prophet. That actually, some people began to see this is God with us. This is the best picture of God that we have. This is God come to us in human form to love and serve us, to break us free of all that oppresses us, and to enable us to be with him, which is our love, our joy, and our fulfillment. That will change everything in terms of what we see when we look at this person of Jesus. So next picture. Well, I've just answered that. So if that's true, that that's what we see when we see in Jesus, then presumably we will want to be with and to listen attentively to and to follow this person like nobody else on earth. This is the best picture of God that we have. This is the one who actually gives us clue to the meaning and purpose of our own lives and the whole of the universe. If that's true, then everything becomes different. We will be constantly wanting to be in the presence of this person. Next picture. Where's Wally? Have you seen on the internet the Where's Jesus equivalent of this? Yeah? Next picture. Sometimes you need help to find out where's Wally, don't you? Can you see Wally in that? That's a bit far away for many of you, I appreciate. So what we need is somebody to give us a bit of divine assistance. Anyway, next picture. But sometimes on the internet, they've now got a Where's Jesus website. So can you see Jesus on that picture? You see the picture of Jesus in there? Can you see? If I had a clicker with a red beep, I could show you. Can anybody see it? Oh, it's not very good, is it? You can't really see the... I don't think we're going to be able to see that there, are we? Up to the top right, can you see? Anyway, can you see him? You're phenomenal. He must have a telescope. Anyway, next picture is even more difficult. But I guarantee you, Jesus is to be found there. Anyway, let's come on to the story of today. Next picture. So, Jesus turns up at the house of Mary and Martha. And Mary wants to be with him. She knows who is in front of her. And she wants desperately to be there. And to give you a bit of background about what's going on here, let me tell you a story about when I was 13. When I was 13, my father was an academic. He was a professor. And we used to be invited to students' houses for meals and stuff. And on one occasion, Akram and Sultana, people from Southeast Asia, invited us for a meal. And we went round there, and we went into the front room, and that was all very nice. And then suddenly I found out what had happened. That my father and my brothers and I were in the front room, but my mother and my two sisters had been whisked into the back room, into the kitchen. Well, I was up in arms about this. I wasn't up in arms about this because I thought this is a lack of equal ops, I have to say. It's because I knew the food was in the kitchen. And knowing my sisters, I thought, we'll get the scraps here. We'll get the scraps. I needn't have worried, because moments later, Akram appeared with probably the largest amount of cooked meat I'd ever seen in my life at that stage, and proceeded to feed us. And after a while, I was beginning to get used to this and think, this is all right. But my father was most uncomfortable about it, and so brought us through from the front room to the back room where my mother was. And my mother said afterwards, she said, there's no way I would have brought my daughters through to the front room. That would have just felt too rude to do. But, you know, there was that kind of pressure just to stay where she was. And if I take you back 2,000 years to the ancient Middle East, this would have been the culture in which Mary and Martha and Jesus would have been in. The men would have been in the front room talking about important matters, while the women would have been in the back room. And what happens in this story? Mary has come through to speak to Jesus. She's come through to speak to Jesus because, as I mentioned before, she knows who this is. What could possibly be more important than coming through and speaking to this person? Even if it is a cultural faux pas, even if it is taking a huge risk, this is really important and I have to do it. And what does Jesus say? He affirms her presence in that front room. He affirms her presence, and this picture kind of captures that front room feel and the back room feel to it. Not all the pictures do. And when Martha's complaining about how her sister isn't helping her out, he says, she has chosen the better part. She understands who I am and how significant and how important it is that she is attending to me, because I am her joy and her fulfillment. So something about seeing and how we can't all trust our eyes, something about knowing influencing our seeing, and how as a result of knowing we follow and we follow very differently. Last picture. So, I'm going to tell you now what that is. That is an old lady cleaning a floor with a bucket. Now you will always know when you see that picture, won't you? So I prove my point. Knowing makes you see differently.